So I think you got to trust your eyes before you get worked into a shoot over what you see on a what you see on the field. You got to trust it before you get worked into a shoot about what you see on paper. I did not see this reaction that Lima saw, so maybe we're just looking at different people here. I thought that the responses that I saw based on the depth chart were measured. People said that they weren't surprised or they were unbothered by anything they saw. Lima, you said you saw a much different reaction.
Yeah. I mean, there have been people just fired up over, you know, this situation in general, but they couldn't believe that Shador puts on that performance. The national talking heads, man, they seem to get on board, right? Like, nobody thought he didn't play well. They either thought, all right, this means he needs to move up the depth chart, or, all right, it's preseason game one, but, man, he was better than I expected. Like, nobody could bag on the performance, and because of that, I think they expected not to see a number four in front of him when it came to the depth chart with four quarterbacks.
It's
like if they would have been forced to put Deshaun Watson in there too. Who did you see the video yesterday of Deshaun Watson? This. Boy, it doesn't seem like Jimmy Haslam's going to get relief that insurance money anytime soon. He looks healthy to play.
But whose hat was he wearing?
He's wearing a number four hat.
Was this a number four?
I don't know what he was wearing in the video.
No,
I didn't see the video.
In the video.
Does the number four support Shador Sanders because he's fourth on the depth chart?
Well, no, he's fifth on the depth chart. So he has to get a number five.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Anyway, that's all I was seeing. I was seeing people that could not believe, especially when they saw the Sando quarterback tiers. Where was Joe Flacco? 30th?
He was 31st.
31st?
I haven't done my QB tiers yet.
Holy
I missed the opportunity? Should I do my QB tiers?
No, up until the start of the season. It's
okay.
All about tiers.
Then I'm going to have them out by the end of the week.
So they couldn't believe that. Wait a second. We have the 31st ranked starting quarterback. We have a journeyman, 23-year-old journeyman in Kenny Pickett, or however old he is. Dylan Gabriel overdrafted, and then yet the guy that just balled out in the preseason game in front of, I guess, 3 million people or so watched that preseason game. It got the highest rating that night. He's fourth on the depth chart. I think that's what is driving some people.
But
nuts.
I don't think that they need to see. Then they're just big Shador fans and they don't follow the NFL. How often do we see changes on depth charts?
Yeah, that I don't know.
With injuries, that's the only time you really see them. We don't see these things all the time. How long have you covered the Browns, Anthony? A long time, same as I have. When have we ever seen big changes on the depth chart? Only when there's been injuries. So, guys, for everybody who's Shador fans who are just jumping into this for the first time, welcome to the NFL. Because on unofficial PR depth charts, we hear stories all the time, but on unofficial PR depth charts, nothing changes. Because they don't want to answer that question. Well, why did you move Shador up? And the answer would be, well, look how he played on Friday. Well, yeah, but if he goes and he doesn't play that well when they mix a couple of things in with Philadelphia, well, now I got to bump him down the depth chart. Now I'm just playing with Shador's emotions publicly in the depth chart. Same thing would happen for Dylan Gabriel. Why are you bumping Dylan Gabriel down the depth chart? He didn't even have a chance to play. He's been injured. Same thing with Kenny Pickett. So you know what you do? You have your first depth chart and you leave it there. That's what they did. My depth chart is currently Joe, Shador, Dylan Gabriel, Kenny Pickett.
Now, could that change if Kenny Pickett played against Philly on Friday and you hear whatever he does in the dual practices? I'm not sure because we still don't know about his health.
But
if
Kenny,
if Dylan Gabriel, if Dylan Gabriel played well in the game, whatever this week, has a good week, can he jump back ahead of Shador?
In my,
yeah,
he's got to play really, really well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What if he does? Or have you made up your mind after one preseason game?
Does Shador get to play in that game on Saturday?
Yeah.
How does Shador play?
Let's say he doesn't play as well as Dylan Gabriel.
But does he play bad?
For the sake of this argument, yes, he plays bad. Are you week to week?
No, because I didn't have Dylan Gabriel ahead of him in the first place. Right? Yeah. I didn't have Dylan Gabriel ahead of him in the first place.
Now, the Browns did.
Okay, it's not the first or the last time I'm going to disagree with the Cleveland Browns. What is your ranking? And I want to know. I want you to speculate what you think their real depth chart is.
Do you
think their real depth chart is this?
I think they need to see one more game out of Shador before they realistically put him ahead. I would agree with you. I think they think Dylan Gabriel's better than Shador.
I would agree with you.
But this is just a preseason depth chart, right?
Mm-hmm.
It'll change before the regular season starts, potentially.
I think, well, every depth chart is as if it should be in real depth charts. It should be as if you got a game you actually have to win on Sunday.
Well, because I wonder, so one of these two guys is going to be the scout team quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if one is the scout team quarterback and the other one's not even getting snaps with the scout team or as a third stringer, because it's hard to get a third string snap during the regular week, right? So if one's getting a scout team rep and the other one's not even getting a rep, is the scout team guy the third quarterback or the fourth quarterback?
It depends on the type of quarterback that they play.
You think they'll switch them every week?
Well, if you... Okay, so you are talking about... What's the depth chart right now?
Well, the depth chart... I mean,
216-474-0092.
What the Browns have right now.
Okay, you agree with that?
Only because that's the way that they have practice
so
every day.
Can Dylan get out there and scoot at all? Or is he just a shorter version of Shador? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just asking.
I don't know. I haven't seen him. I haven't got to personally see him in real live fire. I've only seen him in practice.
Because Shador can move around a little bit, but it's not like he's Lamar Jackson out there. So if you're playing, Joe Burrow can move around a little bit, but he ain't Lamar Jackson. So if you're playing,
Peyton Manning could move around a little bit.
He could feel it in the pocket and get out there. But I get what you're saying. If you were playing Joe Burrow in Cincinnati on Sunday, it's like, okay, Shador could run that scout team. If you were playing if you're playing Miami, well, I guess Dylan Gabriel can run that scout team. Because people were saying that, well, they might trade for Dylan Gabriel. The Miami Dolphins would, which I don't understand how they would trade for a third rounder when they took Quinn Ewers, but we were in crazy times. So what is everybody else's depth chart? Because my depth chart would be, as of right now, Joe, Shador, Dylan, Kenny Pickett,
but that's just
and I don't think I'd move it.
That's your wants. That's not what you believe the team's is.
No. I believe it's the same thing Lima just said. Where you believe it's...
Yeah, I mean, we had people... There are some insiders that have said, no, this job was supposed to be for Kenny Pickett to win. The starting quarterback.
That's why he was sending all the texts.
And who has had him number one on any depth chart?
Not me.
Now,
Jason Lloyd?
Some of it hasn't been fair.
I kind of did, only because I don't actually put Flacco on a depth chart. I think Flacco is an insurance policy.
was Jason thinking of his own personal opinion, or was he just saying that's what the Browns have?
I think he's going off of the facts that were out there before they started actually practicing football.
Because I love Jason, but let's call it what it is. He loves to do that. Well, this is what the Browns do. I want to know what Jason wants. Now, I've said that to him, and I'll say it to him on the air. I don't care.
Kenny Pickett is the guy they went and got first, right?
Correct. They have to put him higher on the depth chart.
So we thought that meant, and then they went and got Flacco. Now, why did they go and get Flacco? You said insurance policy.
Yes.
But Kenny, me and you have been like, oh, he's number one. He's going to be the quarterback.
Yeah.
I think they wanted to see what they could get out of these other three guys, and if they are not satisfied that any one of them can lead an NFL team to actually pretend to try to win.
Then by default, it's Flacco.
By default, you put Flacco.
Because it really didn't matter what Flacco looked like.
I made the analogy when he first came back that Flacco is frozen pizza. He's there. He's always, you know, he's there. You can go out and have a good time, and you might need something to eat.
Greatest analogy.
And you can pop him in the oven, and he's ready to go.
He's going
to
get it done. And you're going to be very thankful he was there.
And the rest of them are some, you know, you can name your chain or whatever, right? Sometimes you get a really good one, and sometimes you get one that you hadn't paid for.
So then I ask, and again,
God, you're so right.
We don't know about Kenny Pickett's health, but if Kenny Pickett has a great week this week, does he vault ahead of Joe Flacco? I think the Browns are probably just looking for that because he's 27.
Yeah. The Browns have to believe that has a good week this week, that that's the true Kenny Pickett, and it wasn't a one-week thing. And that's where the hamstring injury has really screwed this whole deal.
So then what would that do to the depth chart? I know we're right back at square one, but then would it not be Kenny Pickett one, third. Joe Flacco two? Well,
Owen just made a really great point, because how often have you had a really, like, unless you cooked it wrong, when have you ever had an edible frozen pizza? Like, I've had some pizzas delivered, and I go, you can't eat this. The worst pizza I ever had one time was in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. It was so bad.
It does its job, and you're like, yeah, it's satisfying, and then every once in a while it throws two interceptions against Houston, and you're screwed.
There you go. Like sometimes you get the boom booms afterwards.
Now you might have to ask the Colts fans, how do they feel about
I don't care about what Colts fans.
They don't have the same type of pizza.
They had that pizza last year.
They use different toppings.
Colts fans were just upset because the quarterback that they drafted, what, third or fourth overall that year, ends up sucking up the room, and they already want to move on from the guy. They have misplaced their anger. They put it at Joe Flacco's feet when it's really after Anthony Richardson. Joe Flacco wasn't the one who called for somebody to come in for him after running for a first down. That's what I think of Colts fans. I'm going to continue to whisper into the microphone. Jeff in Sebastian, Florida. You're listening on the Free Odyssey app. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Glad to have you.
I love the pizza reference to Joe.
That's such a good analogy. Owen is so right about that.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. I wanted to go back to something I heard a little bit earlier and was talking about. We all believe that we need to see Gabriel play in this game, and hopefully his leg will let him do that. But even if he does or he doesn't, he plays well or he doesn't, it doesn't matter either way. What you guys referenced that maybe they would still look to trade him.
Which one again?
Gabriel.
Well, it was odd to me that other teams immediately wanted to trade for him.
Indeed.
And so my whole argument was, okay, did you get him just because you wanted currency? Because they love to mention that quarterbacks are currency. I go, how can you be a team that needs talent? You need guys who actually play on the field, but you drafted a quarterback to become currency for you.
Right. Well, mm-hmm. I think we were all surprised by the pick of Gabriel in the third, for sure. But at this point, it depends on what he does, obviously. I still think Sanders is the most talented quarterback on the squad, and that's counting all six of them right now. But what they could justify by trading him for a fourth or even a fifth-round pick if they wanted to is because they got Sanders at five, and I think everybody in the world is starting to believe that he's obviously not a fifth-round talent. He's a first- or second-round talent, and thereby justify your poor pick at three.
Yeah.
And get rid of it.
Yeah.
Write it off.
He's taken the first step, but that, you know, they're going to trade me pick. Jeff, thank you very much for the call. And hey, if you end up getting a good player out of that, then fine. I guess it's going to work out. But my whole thing is, why didn't you just try to do your scouting and get yourself a good player here? There were good players that were taken. I assume right now, we don't know yet, but there were definitely players that people were excited about after Dylan Gabriel was taken at number 94. What did you do to scout? Because you have other holes. You can only play one quarterback at a time. I know they did it once with Johnny Manziel, but you can only play one quarterback at a time. So if he just ends up being a career backup, if he just ends up being Colt McCoy, you know, if you were a Cincinnati Bengals and you had your offense lined up for what you believe for many years, for Buffalo, for Philadelphia, for so many other teams that are good, then I think you could do that and go, hey, we're going to have our Colt McCoy here for the next 4 years, and then we're going to really have him for 3 years, and then we're going to trade him, and we're going to get picks back, and then we're going to redo it. Like, you're operating as if you're a team that's 14-3, not 3-14. That was my concern with it. Because, yeah, they're highly based on value, but do you see the situation that you're in right now? Unless they are completely safe 100% no matter what, and there's going to be no problem whatsoever at the end of this season, no matter what the final record is, which I find hard to believe, especially when you consider these future rankings that Lima found, which will boggle your mind. But you know what they told me, Tone? The rest of the NFL can have a separation between Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry.